After Dark.
After Dark.
After
Dark. After Dark. After Dark. Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Jess Grace Garcia. I am a worship pastor, music producer, and filmmaker. And I also have been told a time or two that I have BDE. Lots and lots of BDE.
Can't confirm.
Yes. Look it up if you're not sure what it is. What the fuck? It's after dark. Big dick energy. That's what. Or we could, you know, let's make it super queer and say dildo energy to match this episode.
More inclusive.
Yeah, kind of. Absolutely. And you are?
I'm Jack Bates, drag queen, theologian, comedian. And if it's true that you carry around a piece of everybody you've ever had sex with, I'm like a metaphysical clown car. There's just a real crowd up in here. My name's Legion, for we are many.
Oh my God, I cannot. Like, how many ways can you figure out to tell that joke? That you are impressive.
Thank you.
For many reasons.
I would say that, like Legion, I would ask Jesus to let me go out into the pigs, but I've already been in 2,000 pigs.
No. I'm going to say something that your fiance has said to you a couple times just today. Why are you gross?
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's trauma.
How many responses have you practiced?
Oh, a lot.
Oh, so many.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's like Erica's always asking me, like, oh my God, you're so weird. Why are you so weird?
What do you say?
I don't even know. Like I'm like, most of the time I push it back on her. I'm like, you are the one that chose this weirdo. You're the one that married this weirdo. Also, you told me weird was a good thing. So.
Yeah, it's a good response. August loved Star Wars. So when he pulls something like that, I'll pull out a, who is more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows them?
Well played, sir. Well played. Hey, beautiful Lavender Mafiosa babes. As we continue to make fun, sex-positive, thoughtful, queer Christian content, we've been blown away by how many of you make listening to us a regular part of your week. It really means the world to us. We appreciate those of you who have been listening regularly, as well as you gorgeous babes who have partnered with us on Patreon. There are so many ways that you can come alongside us and support us, but one of the key ways of doing that and continuing to do this work is through Patreon. We need the support of our community of listeners to continue doing this work, this amazing work that we're doing. Getting to hear from so many of our listeners how Lavender Mafia has made a difference to you or made you feel like you were just not so alone has meant the world to us. And in the world that we are in right now, with so much hurt flying at queer and trans folk, it means everything to have voices that are out there, diverse voices. And in order to keep doing this work, we need your support. Not only do we want to be able to continue the podcast, but we want to be able to do even more than that. We want to do Lavender Mafia merch. We want to have a website and an online and in-person community and even some bonus podcast content. And the way we're able to do that is with the support that we get through Patreon. So if the Lavender Mafia has meant something to you, please consider going to patreon.com/lavmafia and sign up to help us keep doing this work. Every little bit helps. Thanks.
So this episode isn't about clapbacks to your sub, although we should do that sometime.
Oh my gosh, what is this episode about?
This episode is about sex toys.
Ooh.
We've threatened this topic on a number of occasions.
And I think we've covered certain things.
Oh, yes. Yes, we definitely have. So what's out there? What's some paraphernalia that comes to your mind when the topic of sex toys comes up?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is a bullet vibrator.
Jess, what is a bullet?
Normally, it is shaped to fit in like it's called a bullet for a reason. Like, it looks kind of like a bullet. It's kind of oval ish. And it's shaped in a way that should be easy to hold, and it's a little bit pointed, and it is meant for your clit. It's meant to stimulate your clit.
My clit?
Your clit.
I'm intrigued.
So yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind, because I feel like that's like an easy step for many people who don't have sex toys. Mm-hmm. Because it's a self, it can easily be used, and I think originally was intended as a self pleasure tool. But you know, we've used it plenty of times in group play. What about you? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
For sure, a dildo.
Yep.
Like, there are many different kinds, like, come in different textures, like plastic.
Oh my god.
Silicone.
So many.
There's this like stuff that's supposed to feel like real skin that feels pretty real. I don't worry too much about textures because my asshole is not that discerning.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh.
When you're hungry, just about anything will do.
I think it's funny because so many of our previous After Dark topics have been like really like a little spiritual, like a little. No, we're diving in, guys.
Oh, I might take us there. I might just.
Oh, we're going to take it there.
Tease around the rim a little bit first. But yeah, dildos can be really straightforward, not a whole lot of bells and whistles. But they often have two bells,
like a regular
whistle.
Penis.
Mine, like a lot of them vibrate. Mine.
Wait, are we talking about real penises? We're talking about dildos now. Because I said like a regular one. You were like mine, and I'm like, ooh, what does yours do?
A number of attachments. No, my dildo, it has a like it's like silicone, so it feels like a little like skin, but not like a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it has like a bunch of different vibration modes, and the head of it, the like penis head of the dildo, like rotates.
Whoa.
It's like what I want my penis to be like. Resurrection body, I want a penis.
A rotating penis?
Yeah. Just like getting there, mix it up like a KitchenAid.
That's fun.
Just whisk those insides.
Oh my god. I feel like with my resurrected body, I just want to be able to like put on and off my boobs and on and off a penis. Like, I feel like just, you know, interchangeable would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
How non-binary is that of me?
I feel like there's a good case to be made for the resurrection body having shape-shifting capabilities.
Oh,
like,
God, yes.
Sometimes people didn't recognize Jesus, and sometimes they did. It could be that he was able to alter his appearance at will.
Ooh, oh my God, that's a subject we should talk about on another day. That sounds so interesting. Yes.
Oh yeah, other
toys.
Other sex toys. Like, I normally think of insertion toys, but I feel like a lot of different things could count as sex toys. Like, a lot of the BDSM kind of paraphernalia, I feel like you could talk about as sex toys, like floggers and whips and
totally
handcuffs and stuff.
I hate the name of this sex toy because of obvious reasons, but like the pocket pussy is one that I've heard about.
So tell us about it.
It isn't something that I would use just because I don't own a personal penis,
mm-hmm.
right? but it you're supposed to be able to put it. It's like, how do I describe it? It's hard to describe. It's supposed to imitate like the feeling of a vagina, I think, a little bit, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to go over your penis, and it's a self-pleasuring tool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, anything can be used in group play, but but I think its original purpose was that. And I think it's interesting because I've known a lot of gay guys who've had it and used it, and they're like, it's kind of funny because I would never want to put myself. And they're like, I'm like, never say never. No, but yeah, there's that. I mean, like, God, I just can't, there's so many things.
Yeah, there are like asshole versions right. of that that are a little bit tighter. I mean, though not all assholes are. Like, go to West Hollywood and you'll know.
Come right here, folks. You don't have to go to West Hollywood. Just meet Jack on.
Hey, she's keeping it tight.
Not the way you talk about it.
She likes to talk a big game, but she's almost an exclusive top.
Ballot. Gosh, but you were saying like anything can be used as a sex toy. Like it's mm-hmm. it's really or be called a sex toy. Like it's I know like when you're desperate, you know, a vibrating toothbrush can work.
Yeah, what are some things that we've used as sex toys that were not designed for that purpose? So, I feel like as queer people, we are used to using things
yeah.
for other than their original purpose. So you're welcome.
Valid. But I would say for me, the first thing that comes to mind is this shoulder massager that it's not a vibrator. So you would think, okay, well, it vibrates, but no, it doesn't. It's like one of those hook ones that you put pressure in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like I was really horny one night several years ago and like decided to utilize that because I didn't want to use my hand. I wanted something harder to press against mm-hmm. and I had nothing else that was like accessible. And then I was like, oh, I really like that. Why did I really like that? And it was like kind of a funny experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I've mentioned, I think, on the podcast recently was a sander. That was my discovering of vibration is a turn on. Mm-hmm. shower head.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. Shower heads are, they can be fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about this, I think it was in the masturbation episode, but like one of my workarounds, one of my like ethical reach arounds, and I was like, real conservative and repressed was like at church they taught that masturbation was a sin. I told myself that I believed that if I didn't like jerk myself off, like if I didn't manually stimulate myself, then like if I ejaculated, like that wasn't really my business. So like shower heads, stuff like that, PlayStation 2 controller.
Oh, because they vibrated.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
A little bit further down the road, like before I was ready to come out and like, so before I was ready to like buy a dildo with a KitchenAid head.
Every time just, I think of the actual KitchenAid like machine. Oh my God.
That gives me an idea. What sort of attachments are available? No, I'd be afraid. Those things have some horsepower to them.
Yeah, they do.
Before I was ready to buy a dildo, there was hairbrush with a silicone handle that we became very close.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense.
Easy to hide the evidence.
I am, guys, not much makes me blush, but this whole episode is making me blush. I am just, I'm dying. I can't keep eye contact with Jack because I'm just laughing so hard because I'm visualizing everything. This is just, wow. If this becomes too much for any of you, just know that you're not the only one. I'm sitting here and it's a lot.
I'm having a lot of fun.
I bet you are.
I don't think I've ever done food. Have you ever done food? Like an American Pie kind of moment?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, so here's my brush with food. I thought, with my first girlfriend, I thought it would be a good idea because I had seen and heard that, like, you could, like, put, like, different types of food on each other's bodies and, like, lick it off and stuff like that.
Sure.
For some reason, I thought honey would be a good idea.
Oh, no.
So we hooked up like we normally do in the back of my dad's car. And I tried honey on her and it was so sticky and messy. And, I forgot the honey in the back of the car. And it fell over and got all over like all of the top. It was one of those old boat cars that like went like 12 miles a gallon kind of thing. And so it melted all on top. And I remember like a week later, my dad was like, what is this honey doing up here? Like, who put this here? Like, I was like, oh, that's my bad. And my dad was like, why do you need this? And I was like, I don't even remember what bullshit excuse I came up with. But like, the only thing I tried from that moment at some point was probably whipped cream, but literally like, no to food.
I think it's funny the like, I feel like the foods that are like classic foods to put on your body or your partner's body, like they're all on the sweeter side. Like, where's the savory stuff? Like, what if I want to lick Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce off my partner?
That's
like
still
a nice
sweet.
Horseradish mustard. Some like relish.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's because of like our association with dessert. Like in our minds, like sex is this like dessert of everything else in our life that's the entree. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to be the dessert. I want to be the main course, honey.
I love that. So much. I'm trying to think of you know, it's an interesting little tidbit of information that I don't think my wife would mind me sharing after every other fucking thing I've shared is that we were together for I think almost 2 years before we ever got a sex toy. So I think that part of it was because I had this big, like, I didn't realize it, but I kind of had this like thing about wanting to be everything that she needed. Mm-hmm. Like, and what I found since then has been a lot of people, especially older school lesbians and like, queer peeps who grew up the way that we did, had this like purity concept about like it's transitioned into this weird place in our minds about like, well, we don't use any of that sexual paraphernalia. We we use our bodies, you know, like,
right.
Like what? I don't know. But, so for a long time I had like this like weird, like leftover issue with sex toys. And then my wife and I just kind of discussed it and we're like, let's do it because, the thing that comes with, you know, this is a little bit of, you know, disability sex combo. Mm-hmm. The thing that comes with, fibromyalgia, it's a nervous system, issue. And so she needs more stimulation because her nervous system has been so shot. And so it was only going to make our sex better and more satisfying for her if we had help. You know, and that doesn't make me any less of a, in fact, it probably gives me more kudos as a partner for wanting to do whatever I could to please my partner.
Right.
You know, so for anyone out there that's ever had that thought or experienced that feeling, you're not alone.
Yeah, I've struggled with that same feeling, like wanting to do it all myself. Like, in my part, it's like coming from the disabled partner's perspective. And it's hard for us disabled people to like admit where our limitations are sometimes. Like, we just get sick of being reminded of them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating when the bedroom is another one of those places where we have to like have our limitations like thrust into our consciousnesses.
Thrust.
She didn't intend a pun there, which is weird. One of the jacks inside my head did. He's like, here, use this.
It will help with the tension.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure out how to like incorporate sex toys well into like my sexual life with August, something we're still haven't quite got down or experimenting with, but I'm excited about the prospect of like not having to worry as much if like my disability is going to get in the way of me pleasing my partner in the way or ways that I want to and the ways that he likes to receive pleasure.
Yeah.
What would you say to people who worry about or like raise the objection that using sex toys makes sex more impersonal?
I think that it's a unfortunate like oversimplification that mm-hmm. people get to. Like, you wouldn't say that someone is any less of a human because they are missing part of their limb and
right.
that they need, you know, like you know, like we've been watching the Olympics. I don't know mm-hmm. if you have, but like watching the Paralympics are going to be happening. And I just keep hearing and seeing all these inspirational stories of some of those Olympic, of some of those Olympians. And mm-hmm. it's really cool to see what they've overcome and what they can accomplish. And they are missing limbs or have a disability of some sort or a chronic illness or something. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm literally like, I have all my limbs and I can't do even a little bit of that thing that they're doing. Mm-hmm. but that being said, like, we wouldn't say that it is impersonal for them, you know, to utilize that. And I just feel like when I'm using a dildo to please my partner, it's an extension of me
mm-hmm.
because it's me that's doing that.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I don't think that it's impersonal at all.
I have been watching the Olympics. If you count going on Google Images and doing searches for the men's gymnastics team. Which I feel like I'm getting what I wanted out of my Olympic experience.
Good. That's all that matters.
And I think I would respond similarly. Like, that's where I got to thinking about this question. I've been reflecting more on philosophy and theology of disability lately. And the experience of disability includes reflection on like, what does it mean for something to be part of your body or not part of your body? Because a lot of us conceive of the limits of our body as also like circumscribing or like including our assistive devices or like more permanent implants, people deaf or hard of hearing, like some. I could see them conceiving of them as parts of their bodies.
Well, I even think about like for those transbinary peeps who are, you know, doing what they can to like more match their outside to their insides. Mm-hmm. And like because that wasn't something maybe born of them, does that make them any less? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like trans men who use packers, like sometimes they conceive of those as parts of their bodies. And like when these strap on, they can consider that a part of their bodies as well.
Which I relate to. I mean, there are times that I'm using, like, here's a perfect example. When I'm using a dildo for one of my partners, it's meant as an extension. Like, I'm doing this as like, mm-hmm. this is helpful for their pleasure. And it's something I'm holding in my hand. Whereas mm-hmm. maybe with one of my other partners, it's meant as kind of a way for me to feel whole. Affirming of my gender queerness. And so I'm wearing it as a strap on. And so it's two different purposes, same toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it feels really good. And it feels very different. It's mm-hmm. a very different type of orgasm. It's a very different type of experience because it's a spiritual and mental orgasm for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have very different experiences of sex toys. Like, if I'm using them on myself or if I'm using them on a partner. Like, I guess I could think of them as extensions of my own body when I'm using them for self-pleasure, but that doesn't feel as natural to me as it does when I'm using them to, like, extend my presence sort of out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the ways that I think of, like, what a body is or means. It's like the material vehicle for our being present somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, we can use sex toys to extend that presence in ways that can be helpful, loving.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny because I've said this before in the past. It's been a while, but I've always thought, like, this is something I'm gifted in, like, the energy that I can give and that like the healing that sex can bring, mm-hmm. you know? That sometimes I'm like, I wish it was more societally acceptable to have sex with your friends, because there are times mm-hmm. that I would love to gift that to someone, because I know it's something that I do well, and it's something that it's a way that I love others well
mm-hmm.
and connect. That there are times that I'm like, man, I wish that, you know, like, because, like, there have been times people have shared, like, oh, my partner's, you know, uncomfortable with this or for that, or I've been trying to get this experience, but I just don't know how to. And I'm like, God, I wish I could just say, like, how about you come over tomorrow night and we'll fuck and I'll show you and I'll teach you some things and you know, then mm-hmm. you can take it on to your next situation. And I think for some people, there is that conversation. There are some people that have those conversations, yeah. You know, at least in my life and partnerships right now, I've got enough on my hands, but like, but there are, I get as far as I can with that when mm-hmm. it comes to, like, helping my friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I do wish it was more of a societally acceptable thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of stigmas that we still need to transcend as society. I think a lot of them at root are polyphobic.
Oh, totally. Well, I was just thinking the other day, like, we were talking about sex toys now, and so it's reminding me, but a friend gifted me a sex toy, or gifted us a sex toy,
mm-hmm.
Because it was something that they weren't going to use. They had bought two different kinds, and one was better for use for them, and the mm-hmm. other one they just hadn't even opened. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, would you be interested? They, like, long enough into the conversation, they felt comfortable saying, would you be interested in this? And I was just like, my God, yes. Like, you felt comfortable to ask me if I wanted, yes. Like, what a cool friend exchange.
I love that.
Right? Also, dildos can be expensive.
More of that in the world, please. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can. But it's like, there have been so many times where, like, someone is really nervous about getting into, like, letting themselves buy a sex toy because it is expensive. Like, oh no, mm-hmm. what is it that I'm going to enjoy? And it's like, I try to talk them through every single part of it, you know, to help them to make a good decision, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. One of our mutual friends, they wanted to buy their first dildo, and I ended up buying it for him and having it shipped to him because he shared an Amazon account with his parents. I didn't want them seeing that on the purchase history.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
I felt like very, very queer mama bear.
Oh, 100%.
At that point, like, yes, I will protect you.
That's so sweet.
I'll guide you along. Like, I love the opportunity to do that kind of shit in our community.
Oh, 100%.
We're talking about stigmas that are like associated with sex. I was thinking about I think there's like an implicit transphobia in some of the like objections to sex toys.
Yes.
Like gay boys who like are disgusted by the idea of a pocket pussy. Like, that's not cute.
Right. Exactly.
Or like if a cis woman is like, I will not be like, I want to be sensitive to like trauma issues, sure. But if those aren't at play and there's like a penis phobia, like I don't want to receive pleasure from anything that looks like a penis. Like it feels transphobic.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about that, like there's such a thin line. It really feels so fine. Mm-hmm. That line, because like I am one of those people that experienced like the fear of the penis, and it had everything to do with purity culture and mm-hmm. fear of pregnancy and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I couldn't just undo it. Just because I understood it didn't mean I could undo it.
Sure.
And then even though I named it, it didn't mean I could undo it. Mm-hmm. And so like for the longest fucking time, I couldn't, it didn't mean I didn't want to use a dildo on someone else. It just meant I couldn't have it inside me because mm-hmm. I had all this trauma. Mm-hmm. And I still have thought like, well, if I were to, you know, have sex with a boy or with gay boy or something like that, like, options are endless, that I would probably still want to be very dom in that situation and mm-hmm. be the one that's doing the fucking. But actually that has kind of changed because I've been able to do some healing with that trauma mm-hmm. and I've been working on it for so long. And, we've had some breakthroughs recently and, mm-hmm. I'm excited about the opportunity to eventually use a dildo on myself. And like the last time I remember actually really doing that, I was like 16, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that's half my life ago. So it's really interesting and there's nothing for me transphobic about that, but
yeah.
it could have gone in that. Like, I think it's about how you have that conversation with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's, again, people oversimplify things too much. Like, oh, I have a fear of penis. Oh, penis, ew. Why? Why does it, why right. do you let yourself go there and just be okay with that being your answer?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like gay boys who are transphobic about trans dudes.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. Like, he's a gay boy just like you. What's mm-hmm. the issue? I'm like, it's like, oh, but I don't want to go there. Like,
it is othering somebody because they don't have a part of their body that you think that they should have.
Yes.
Why do you even have an opinion about this?
Yes, exactly. Now, I think if it was someone who had had a traumatic experience or had come out of a straight marriage or just like, who knows, countless answers, mm-hmm. countless. And they were to share that and say, like, I think you're really cute. I really like you. I'm a little fearful about this part.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally different way of handling that. And like, oh, this is something that I'm working on. I don't know if I want to subject you through this thing that I'm working on, but I am working on it.
Yeah. I think there's a world of difference between having a reaction and saying, like, I wish I didn't have this reaction and I'm working on it. Or like defending it,
mm-hmm.
or just like just stating it, even like defending it as like a preference,
mm-hmm.
I think can be trying to appeal to tolerance when really you're just being like a transphobe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here for it.
Yes, I agree. It's good to name it though, because I think like, you know, gosh, I go back to this theme all the time, but just like, I don't think things are so black and white. And I think that unfortunately we oversimplify too much, and we also excuse so much of our actions under the idea that, well, I'm queer. Like, I've been through a lot. Like something about your queerness and your trauma of being queer excuses you from bad behavior.
Right.
Or having to do more work.
Yeah. A mutual friend recently told us that a coworker, I think of theirs, said something like really racist. And when our friend called her out on it, she was like, oh, like I'm disabled. Like I'm a member of a marginalized community. So like I can say this sort of thing. Like, no, bitch. No, that's not in the rule book.
I remember when that was my excuse for saying racist comedy, because it was still popular, like, like to say something slightly racist. If I said something about my own culture that I thought it was like excusable. No, it's not. Just like saying as a queer person, it's not okay for me to be like, that's gay.
Right.
It's not okay. Which is entirely different than an overgeneralization or a silly stereotype that might have some truth, right? Yeah. Something that's a little harsh is different than something that's like, or something that's just a little bit honest is different than something that's gross and harsh, you know, and is unfounded.
Yeah, sometimes I like to write jokes that trade on stereotypes about our communities while also mocking those.
Yes, you do those so well.
It's so fun. Like, I don't... This is like half a joke. I'll have to workshop it more. But I was thinking back to how... like evangelicals in my past, how they, oh yeah, it was brought up by our listeners' story in the last minisode.
Mm.
So if y'all haven't listened to that, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Pause this and go listen.
Yeah, seriously, pause it and go listen.
He was talking about how his conservative Christian community like vilified gay people and told all sorts of slanders about them. And I was thinking about how in my past, gay people were just painted as like just drunk, like sexual deviants.
100%. That's how they're painted.
Most of us are not like that. Like, I'm like that. And I like to think of myself as pretty special. That's resent good. The implication that other people have reached the depths of debauchery that it's taken me some time to excavate.
That's good.
This kind of filth doesn't just happen by itself.
That's right. That's great.
You gotta work for it.
So true.
I was thinking back to a previous part of our conversation. I normally wouldn't allow myself a kind of a leap, but I've learned to start being more gentle, like with my and others' ADHD and other like neurodiversity things.
Oh yeah,
all the time. It's been really helpful just to say like I lead some discussion groups and I'll list out the questions and say like I'm going to ask these questions in this order, but feel free to like jump forward or jump back. And it's really helped to make like a more inclusive discussion atmosphere.
Well, and it also keeps people from, I know we experienced this recently, like I feel like a lot of people, especially those of us that have grown up the way that we have, feel the need to say sorry a lot. And it's basically saying like, you don't need to apologize for who you are.
I could go on
a total different rant on that.
But I just wanted to call back to a previous point in the conversation when we were talking about like using sex toys to like extend the limits of our bodies. Like, I don't think I'm forcing the analogy, but if I am, I'll just spit on it to make it fit.
Oh my God, yes! Oh, you killed me.
I was thinking about like the Christian doctrine of the Eucharist. Like in a lot of Christian traditions, we believe that the Eucharist or communion or Lord's Supper, like however you talk about it, is like just as significantly the body of Christ as the like physical human body that they still inhabit.
I think this train of thought is valid as fuck.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, God in Christ is using bread and wine of all sorts all around the world, even sometimes in space. Ooh, communion was taken on the moon one time. Like, they're using these material vehicles to extend their presence into our bodies in meaningful ways.
I mean, I would go as far as to say, like I talk about this all the time, and actually this isn't very far-fetched if you know me, but like, I think that the divine that exists in each and one, every one of us, you know, is like, we get to like, use ourselves to love on each other, right? Like, and God gets to use us to love on each other, you know, and to love on us. And I think like orgasm is a part of that. Like being able to bring your partner or partners or, you know, one night stand or just like a friend fuck, like being able to bring them to a place of extreme pleasure and climax is a loving act, you know? And I feel like it's something that God has gifted us with, this ability to gift to each other.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. There's a sort of like gross Christian theology. Oh my God,
wait up.
Go for it.
I'm going to say it. I'm totally going to cut it out. It's almost as if we're the sex toys of the universe for God.
It's true. I mean, I stopped just short of connecting the dots for our listeners, saying that like the Eucharist is the dildo that God puts in our mouths. But that's where that was going. Eat it.
There are some people that are like, I really appreciated their theology up until now.
Oh, God, are we leaving that part in? I think we should leave it in.
I think we should leave it in, too.
Oh, yeah, I loved what you're saying. And there's a sort of superficial resemblance to some like gross Christian theology that says, like, if anything is good, like God did it and you didn't do it. But I think the non-gross version of that is that wherever love is, the Spirit is. Wherever goodness is, God is. That when we're experiencing love and goodness from another person, like we're really experiencing them and we're experiencing God at the same time in parallel, like non-competitive ways.
I feel like this is easier for us queers to handle because of how much God was portrayed to us as daddy.
my God.
You're rubbing up on me too much.
We're going to get shut down.
But Daddy God is like a serious like TikTok issue, right? So many people keep talking about it. Daddy God. Like, it's like, yeah, gross. Like, why did they stuff that down our throat so much? Like, this idea. Mm-hmm. Of God being, you know, like, God is your father. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like as soon as I was able to kind of like separate that, like, God's always been more significantly my friend than father. Because mm-hmm. my dad, like, was my dad. And so, like, mm-hmm. As soon as I was able to separate that more, I was able to kind of like see the divine more, less gendered, more truly like expansive as God, mm-hmm. and able to exist in those areas that were taught to us as being like meant for this very private thing, you know?
Yeah, I think it bears a lot, or it's worth reflecting on a lot, how one of God's, if I might say, like, God's most significant interaction with their creation happened in a uterus.
Mm.
Like, how should that transform how we think about the value of people with uteruses?
That's so good. That's a totally different conversation, and that is so good. See, we were going to dive in.
This is the sex toys episode. Excuse us. I love when this sort of thing happens.
Oh, like, yeah, it's one of my favorites.
We should just be able to talk about theology and like very graphic sex stuff in more contexts. More of that in the world, please.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And like our like basic motto of loving your neighbor as yourself by going down on them. I mean, like, we joke about it, but we really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that we think is, I feel like, is such a calling and something that needs to be healed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, sex alone on its own was such a taboo topic. It wasn't even acceptable
mm-hmm.
to bring up. So, gosh, to be talking about sex toys and like pleasure is way out there.
Right.
Like, I know women who didn't necessarily grow up in church, but grew up in the society that that is very Christian, that never would touch themselves because they just, like, they thought it was so gross, or they thought it was so wrong, or
mm-hmm.
or weird. Like, oh, boys do that. And right. It's like, oh, man. The amount of and I have to say, there is definite ties to the amount of anxiety that those humans held, like, that weren't willing to please themselves because they thought that it was wrong and gross.
Right.
And now we're saying, like, go get yourself a sex toy. Like, invest in one.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Or treat your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Or treat your buddy, you know, maybe your buddy's broke like I am most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and needs help, you know, getting a sex toy. Like there's nothing, just like taking your buddy out for coffee or buying their lunch or buying their dinner or whatever. Like, it's
yeah, if you're a person with means, like, buy your friend with a penis an auto blow.
Yes,
it's a little blowjob robot.
Oh my God.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
That sounds fantastic. I feel like a friend of mine, he's a trans dude, like, recently told me about something that's like that. Like, and he loves it. Like, it just, he's been, I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the name of that one was, but it just grabs on and sucks, and it's fantastic.
Cool.
I know. Right? I was like, where can I get me one of these bad boys? No, honey, I'm good. You just keep working.
So we're adding a special Patreon tier to get us the sex toys we wrongly believe we deserve.
Fantastic. No, sir, I will not give you that $5, but I will take you to the sex toy. Oh my gosh. We're messed up. If this episode has taught anyone anything, it's that we're messed up. We have a lot of trauma, but we've grown. God damn it.
And we still have a long way to go. Another very special Patreon tier will help us get the therapy we obviously need.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I feel like we're going to have to do a sex toys part two. And I say that because we have not talked about one, like I get that we've done kink episodes and we've talked about BDSM and stuff, but I feel like they're specifically kinky and BDSM sex toys.
Oh, yeah. They definitely deserve their own episode after the ways that they have contributed to our community.
Mm-hmm.
We owe it to them.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you feel like there's anything else that we can talk about?
I think we've shot our load and now I'm tired.
So you don't want just a 5-minute break?
No.
You're out of spoons.
My refractory period is longer than that. Now that we're done, just no touching. Prefer not to talk. Drama.
I want to cuddle.
Romantic.
No. I want to cuddle when we're done.
Okay. Fine. Listeners, you hear what I have to put up with.
Well, everyone, I want to hear what your first sex toy was, I think, or maybe your favorite.
I want to hear what your next sex toy is going to be.
Either way, we want to hear about sex toys.
Yes.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Lav Mafia, LAVMAFIA. And we talked a lot about Patreon here at the end. Jump on to see what kind of tiers we have, because you really have no idea. Patreon.com/LavMafia, LAVMAFIA.
Because like, where else can you hear a couple like really disgusting queer people talk about like deep theology?
Seriously. I really think we've got we're like that niche. We've completely created our own niche in this game.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be more like us.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, gorgeous babes, be fierce, keep the faith,
and don't fuck it up. Our amazing music is written and produced by Evan Coles of Springwood Productions. Speaking of Springwood, I just want to thank them for recording, mixing, and producing our audio. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Springwood is made up of passionate creatives who are really easy to work with and professional, and they really know their stuff. So if you need anything like video or audio production, or they can really do anything to help your music or business. Like, they got me Taco Bell one time, for God's sake. So go check them out at springwoodproductions.com.